up to a hashtika. Hashtika batels lakasa. Alright, we're discussing yesterday the concept of hafitzainis mararas es apnimis. The external action influences, arouses the inside feelings of a person. Just add that, you know, again, it's very relevant to chesed. You know, someone calls you up and says to come to your house. Say a friend of yours calls up and asks if he can come to your house for Shabbos. And let's say whatever it is, this friend is difficult for you to bear a whole Shabbos, or you're not in the mood for it. You're not in the mood of having someone, you're in the mood of being yourself. But you know in your mind that there's no way you could say no to it. So, but if you go ahead and say, oh, thank you for asking, you know, I'm very happy to have you, and just say those things, which you should be saying, make the person feel good, try not to lie, but say in the way, karav la'emes, and say those things, you'll feel better about having the person yourself. You'll feel a lot better about having the person yourself. It works. This is a klal. This is a klal that I mentioned in passing before. That when you do something, you should do it right. When a person does something, he should do it right. If you're going to do a chesed, you don't. Whether you should do it or you shouldn't do it, you know, fine. You know, when a person wants to pot themselves from doing something, fine. Not discussing. But when you're doing something already, do it right. Person is doing, you're doing a guy a favor, do it right. If you don't do it right, then it's a waste. It's a mamish, a waste. The people that do other people chasadim, and if mamish could be their entranceway into Olam Haba, they mamish do chasad for people, and it's difficult, and it could be their entranceway into Olam Haba, the guy gives the guy a ride every single day. Every day the person needs a ride to work. You know, and he asks you, yes, if you could take him every day to work. So you feel bad. I mean, you'd rather be in the car yourself. You want to listen to tape. And you guy wants to talk to you, or whatever it is. You have time to relax, and you have to take the guy. So it's not an easy thing to take the person, but you're going to take the person because you're a mensch, and you know it's the right thing to do. So then already the Yitzhar tries to do it, but okay, do it b'di'evet, complain about it, not do it with simcha. You know, so what we have to work on is that when I'm doing something, do it right. If you're giving the person a run, you know it's packed and all the luggage and it's a schlep, do it right. Do it with excitement. Do it with, say nice things to the person, make the person feel good. And as soon as you get, it's always hard to get those nice words out of your mouth. Once a person gets a nice word out of his mouth, it makes the whole thing easier, and you'll get 100 times more schar. As Orcha Tzadikim says in Shara Simcha, Akilish quoted it a few weeks ago, that a person gets 1,000 times the amount of schar when he does something b'simcha, but does it not b'simcha. You know, a person goes outside and it's snowing. And a person doesn't really, not necessarily interested in more snow, more shoveling, whatever it is, more boots. He wants warm weather. He was hoping spring was going to come. So, okay, fine. But you still could go outside and go, say, drought, snowing, I hate the snow. Or you could just say, you don't have to mean it. Just say, oh, geschmack, or snow. Just say it. It works. Yeah. Once we're on the topic, I know this is one of Rabbi Kalish's favorite topics, so you probably heard it before. Doesn't hurt repeating. But you know, actually it's interesting. My wife likes the rain. When it's raining, my wife likes the rain. It's cozy. It's the rain. You know, So I think, I don't know if I asked her, but, you know, by some chance, her mother likes me. You know, how you perceive something is much dependent on how, a lot on how your parents, how others perceive it. If you want your kids to like the rain, I don't care if you like the rain. When it rains, just say, oh, it's so geschmack. It's the trees are going to grow. It's so geschmack. It's so cozy inside. Just say those things. You don't have to mean. Because at least your kids will enjoy the rain. You know, and you might start to enjoy it too. But the way you talk about something has tremendous influence on yourself and especially your children. The person talks about everything positively. So his kids, will, for your kids, not for yourself, but even better, your kids will automatically never have a negative. You have a negative, so your positive speech will influence your negative. Eventually, it'll become positive. Your kids, it's automatic because they all just see things the way you see it. The person complains, it's cold outside. The person complains, it's cold outside. He's always complaining when it's cold, it's freezing. His kids are going to complain that it's cold outside. Parents that are complainers, their kids are complainers. A parent that goes and says it's cold outside, and he says, ah, oh, schmack a breeze, nice and crisp outside. Just say it. You know, I mean, I'm just talking to myself. Then your kids will say the same thing, and they won't even, like, think, they won't even, they'll mean it. It'll become real. It'll become real to you also. But it'll be easier for them. You know, whatever, any positive attitude you have will be carried over in Mirtz Hashem to your children. Now, this is Nogia, actually the next paragraph here. Shtika mevatel sakas. Shtika is mevatel kas. Talking softly is mevatel, destroys the anger. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right, David. I mistranslated. It's the next line out. Hashtika, being quiet, is mevatel kas. The person's very angry at someone or at something, and he keeps quiet, it helps to destroy mevatel kas. Like we've said, kas is like a fire. Anger is like a fire. If you feed it, it grows. If you let it go, if you don't feed it, it goes away by itself. It's a spark. If you're quiet, it helps mevatel the kas. The gam kol namach mevatel the kas, and a soft voice is mevatel the kas. If a person is angry at someone, if you're angry at someone, so best is not to talk to. But if it's someone that you have to, if you have to talk to, or if it's your spouse, you definitely have to talk to him or her, then you should talk softly. Even if you're very angry, say it softly. You know, it really bothers me. You're really mad. It really bothers me. You know. Many times it's better not to discuss the whole thing that bothers you till after you're angry. Don't discuss it till after you're angry. But if you have to, or if you have to discuss anything, talk in a soft voice. Therefore, a person should see, should make sure. When his anger overtakes him, we should try to avoid the situation. But post facto, if the anger overtakes you, you should be quiet, or you dive menachas, or talk softly. You shouldn't raise your voice when you're angry. If there's someone that raises his voice when he's angry, the kas will be awakened. It will increase, it will help feed the anger. But a soft voice, vashtika, and quietness, mashtika na kas, they stay quiet up the kas. The Ramban says in the Yeras Ramban, first thing he says, Shema b'ni misar avicha, v'altita ishtaya simacha, tisnaing tamid. The first thing the Ramban tells you, the first advice the Ramban says is, tisnaing tamid l'davar kol dvarecha, you should be constantly nayig to speak all your words, benachas softly l'chol adam, to every person of l'chol is in all times. You notice there are some people out there that always talk very softly. They always talk very softly. You know, they always talk very softly. It's almost like a, you know, Shalom Aleichem, so nice to see you. It's not just their level of speech that you can't hear them. Doesn't mean that. You know, a person can talk not loudly, but there are people that talk the softness. Just feels there's a softness in their speech. And that's from this Ramban. And very chashuv people have this anhaga. to speak softly. It's a very safe, it's a safeguard. It helps protect you from saying anything inappropriate. It's hard to say something mean or something not nice if you're talking and talk with anger, if you're talking in a very soft, in a soft way.
Is it a plow somewhere?
Sorry?
That
what?
Arguing that topic.
You know, it's a big shiloh. There's two tzadim. The shiloh when a person is learning with the chavrusa. So sometimes, so is it okay if you're arguing with the chavrusa to yell at him and stupid pshat? Now you're learning the Rashi. You're learning the wrong pshat. It's crazy. It's silly. So. That's a question. So on one hand, it's a good thing, since you're getting involved in the learning. But, number one, I've seen people that are, first of all, vicious. They insult the other person. You have to answer Harusa. I mean, or, you know, if he'll give you an honest answer, and if not, then be very careful not to insult him. I tried to learn with a guy, it didn't last, you know, I tried for a day. But I wouldn't have been able to stand learning with him because he was fucking nasty. In other words, he came out very, very strong. It's like it's not the way to learn, it's not the wrong shot. Came across very strong. You know. And some people, you know, some people like to scream at each other. Other people are more sensitive and they don't like to be scream, choked, you know. I personally don't like, you know, if I have a chavrusa that goes down my throat, you know. But, you know, I give it and yeah, you're right, your pshat's right, because I can't argue with you. I'm not going to argue with your screaming, you know what I mean? So a person, you know, the truth is, I don't know. Does it really get you more into learning if you scream about it? Maybe. I think you get just into learning if you scream about, you schmack a Rashi, or have a loud kasha. Why is it a schmack in learning screaming at your chavrusa that you're wrong? Screaming at your chavrusa, they have a great pshat. But when it's a machlokes, why is that the schmack in learning screaming at your chavrusa? I don't know. Well, that's the Gemara condition says that when people are learning, the Gemara says that there could be a mochama. It says that in the end, there's ava. So the Gemara says there is mochama. I don't know, but I'm not on the level where I understand the call of the Gemara, that there's mamash a war. I usually find when I'm in a, when there's some type of argument, if you ever have an argument with Chavrusa Mshat, think about this one, if you ever had an argument with Chavrusa Mshat, and it was an argument, I think usually both Chavrusas are carrying bad feelings, and they feel slighted by the Chavrusa. The Chavrusa is not listening to him, or Chavrusa is putting down his chat, and they feel slighted. And they don't have a good feeling out of it. I don't know practically why how it works, because on a practical level, you know, I went with Harusa, I enjoy just as much without screaming at him and telling him this chat's stupid. I could tell him this chat, dumb. I could argue with him, I could say, I know, I don't understand the chat, but why do I have to say it in a nasty way? Why can't I say, I don't understand what you're saying? It doesn't, you know, I don't understand. It could be in a soft way. If a person wants to argue, he has to know that he doesn't mean, I don't know. But a person, there's no heter to put down your chavrusa, insult him. There's no heter for it. And you have to know if you're just getting involved in learning and it's nothing personal. Or sometimes, by the way, if you ever learn with chavrusa that you're competitive with, it doesn't work. Many times chavrusas can't learn with each other because they're competitive with each other. One's jealous of the other. And the chavrusa shaft never works because deep down, under the surface, they're not telling each other, they're not saying it, but under the surface, each one's jealous of the other. And therefore, when they're learning together, anytime there's a machlokes how to learn Rashi, really it's a battle of who's the better in learning, me or you. It's a battle between the two, who's better. And many times, two guys that are good in learning can't learn with each other, because there's friction underneath them, of jealousy, of other things. Many times a person doesn't, you know, it's hard, you know. So a person has to know whether he's really arguing and just getting into learning. Why is it? I don't know why it's personal. I don't know. It's personal maybe, and if you're arguing about a psak halacha, two rabbanim are paskining a halacha, one holds your chayiv kares, it's chametz, the other person holds it's not chametz. So then I understand it becomes like an issue because I want to save Klal Yisrael from being over chametz. You're saying over chametz. You're saying it's matzah. So I understand there it can get a little bit heavy. We're arguing pshat and taisis. you know, I don't know. I'm not on the level where I should be angry at my chavrusa for saying the wrong shot and you know, insulting him for it. I don't know. Maisa, you've heard this before, because when I was saying over the Gemara in Shabbos, you commented. And Rabbi Kalish has spoken about it. But the Gemara on Shabbos, I quoted a few weeks ago, whatever it was. And someone reminded me that when that person was trying to annoy Hillel with Erev Shabbos, the silly questions. So Hillel, every time Hillel says to him, he says, "Amalei Shalbani, Shaal, ask my son, ask." And every time he asked him another question, Hillel said, "Ask my son, ask." And this is the same insight Rakelish said over, that Hillel was saying, "Ask my son." He said, "My son, talk." You know, I don't know if Hillel, you know, I don't, you know, but in Eitzah, and if you give love to the person, like, "Ask my son," so that stops a person from getting angry. You know, if a person's angry at his child, he keeps on repeating, my dear son. You know, how a person talks affects his mood. You know, also that's why a person, I think Rav Kalish mentioned then, that a person gets angry, he shouldn't talk. Let's say I'm angry at someone. Let's say a person's angry at someone else. He's very upset. So he could start saying to himself, "That stupid guy, that JERK, the Russia," and you could say over those things. Or you could just feel it, maybe think it, but try not to think about it. Definitely don't say it. It makes it much worse if you start talking and say, "Oh, that person's such a Russia and they're terrible." And if you talk like he says here, but you strengthen, not only strengthen the anger, but you strengthen also the perception you have of that person. You're blowing up, you're solidifying, you know, the feelings you have against the person. You know, when a person calls, it's the same thing when a person calls himself, we mentioned before, a person calls himself stupid, it's not productive. "But I don't mean it, I'm just joking." When a person says something, it has an effect. A person calls himself stupid, it has an effect on himself. A person should never call anyone, including himself, stupid. It has an impact on you. So when you call someone else a Russia because he, you know, borrowed your tape recorder without asking, or he accidentally woke you up and you go, "Oh, that Russia," or he annoyed you, so he's a Russia and deserves to go to Gehenna and all those nice things, it doesn't help your feelings for that person, and definitely doesn't help your cause. So it's better just to keep quiet. Oh, pass away faster. The gam l'yira b'fanav shel adam. You shouldn't look at the person that you're angry at. It seems that when you look at the person you're angry at, it strengthens the anger. Eli yadamri mo, you should speak to him below his pun without looking at his face. How do you do that? So, I guess you could talk to him and not look at him. Or you could talk to him and pretend you're looking at him. Now there is a trick. So look, there's a trick. You know, for example, right now, I like to talk to Dougie. You know, so there is a trick at looking at a person and talking to the person, but not really focusing on his face. It needs to be developed. I myself would like to develop it. Like now, I'll talk to Chaim. So Chaim, I'm not really looking at his face, but I'm looking in his direction. There is such an etzah. I'll tell you, I know a person. I'm not gonna say what it is since it's on tape. I know a person that he was amazing. It was agav that he came out. I know a person that did not, if he went to a simcha, would not recognize his neighbor's wife, the missus neighbor. So he happened to mention to me, you know, I don't. Is that the neighbor? Why? He spoke, met a number of times, because he never looks at her. He never actually looks at it. So he didn't know. This is a working person. He did not know what his neighbor's wife's face looked like. And he had definitely encountered her many times. No shadow. It's something to work on. You know, talking about the Indian, there's a terrible, you know, it doesn't have to be blunt, because there's a terrible place to go to these days. These days is pasha difficult. It's a shaila whether we can mat or going shopping, going to the supermarket. It's very, very difficult when you go around a supermarket. It's very difficult. You know, it could be other people are much stronger than myself. But I find it's very difficult going to the supermarket. It's very, very, it's difficult. It's mamish should be against the law to do what they do to people. I mean, I should have a right to be able to go into the supermarket and not have to be nichshal in any assurance. If you only have 5 items, now you have that's why they created, well, the self-pay. But now they're messing those up too. Thought I can get away over the self-pay. I didn't wait, so. So now I take off my glasses. I probably can't avoid it, even if you try, it's hard. It's not a joke, these things. What a person sees is a surim. It's a surim to look at something you shouldn't be looking at. And it's if a person, just a person should know this, once that's on the topic, a person should know there are such people, you know, that there is a possibility, there is a responsibility for a person to try to learn how to speak to people of other genders and not have to look at them. And I myself have to develop this. But Pasha the Yid, he's a working person. He did not know what his neighbor's face looked like. He could not imagine. He wouldn't recognize him. Sorry? No! That's the thing. When he talked to him, he wasn't looking down the floor. He would use a space down mode, you know, look in that direction. I don't know how it's. I have to practice it. I asked my pair once. I said, how's it possible? I said, how's it possible to talk to women and not look at them? So he said to me, so look at their earlobe, so look at their chin. And I said, I can't do it. And the next little while afterwards, you know, I have to start developing it. But the next little while afterwards, I practice in yeshiva. Can't practice on ladies. So I practice on, because you won't win. So I practice on yeshiva guys. And taka, it could be done. It takes practice. Yeah. Anyways, we don't hold things back in our musavak. All right, let's finish over here. The da, ki gemar seichel shal adam hu sheyim shal al kas. The gemar seichel of a person is that he should overcome his anger. That's a completion of the seichel, a sign of a completely intelligent person is someone who has control over his anger. K'may shenemar, as it says, seichel adam herach apa. The seichel of a person is the ability to withhold his anger. Seichel, intelligence. Let's go a little weiter. Make a simsum. Akas noitem oida la gaiva. Kas leans to gaiva. It's very much connected to gaiva. Ve'ena kas nimla min gaiva. Anger, kayes is not escape, cannot escape from gaiva. U'kvar yadat ro'os ha'gaiva. You already know the evils of gaiva. So, most of the time when a person gets angry, it's because of gaiva. Your you're shoveling the snow, and your wife tells you that you're not doing a good enough job. You know, you're cleaning up your room, and your roommate says your room still, he says it's a mess. Get angry. Almost all situations of anger come because of gaiva. When it comes between me and you, most of the time we get angry at someone else's gaiva. A guy talked to me disrespectfully, get angry. Most of the anger comes from gaiva, from arrogance. The less gaiva a person has, the less often he'll be enticed into chaos. When a person gets angry that someone doesn't treat you properly, you should tell yourself, what's the word actually, gaivi? Gaivi? You should tell yourself, gaivi. Gaivi, don't get so angry. Gaivi, don't get so angry. You're about gaiva. Don't get so angry. You're about gaiva. You know, many times we get angry at situations, which is, I don't know if that's called gaiva. Person gets angry at situations, he's stuck in traffic, gets angry, he's having trouble, he's frustrated about something, gets angry, he gets angry. That anger is not, I don't know, maybe it's not so much gaiva. Except for the fact, there's a little bit of gaiva. The gaiva is that you think everything has to go your way. We think that everything has to go our way. We think that if we're driving on the highway, there can't be traffic because I need to get somewhere. We think that everything has to go our way. Rabbi Orlovich said that anger is set apart, that anger is totally an expectancy. A person gets angry when he's expecting one thing and he doesn't get it. If a person drives on the highway and expects, and by the way, that's the same thing when I told you I walked into my house one day, and I couldn't see what was going on because it was over the banister or whatever. And my wife told me, oh no, you're not going to be happy about this. And just the fact that I was able to think for a second, like, expect the worst. So when I came up, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was, or even if it was, I was ready for it. So you're not as angry. Anger is a lot taller than expectancy. If we lower expectations of how people treat us, that's gaiva. If we lower expectations of everything has to go our way, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't owe us the world. You know, maybe when we drive somewhere, we should expect. We should, you know, practically speaking, we should think, you know, we might have traffic. We might have a lot of traffic. It helps. Keep expectations low, and you'll be happier. Alright, let's finish the paragraph. And even something that a person is fit to get angry about. He should hold back his spirit. This is, by the way, kamat, exactly what we read from the Rambam, and everyone should ask me the question in 2 minutes. So to Baal Kasas to do. When he thinks in his mind, he has to think in his mind that he will not get angry. It sounds, in other words, part of being able to overcome anger is the commitment not to get angry. If a person comes, like, a person comes into his house and says, oh, you're going to be upset, and then he thinks to himself, no, I'm not going to get angry. If you pre-decide you're not going to get angry, then you will not get angry. I have a amazing funny thing. I just realized something recently. Someone opened up the fridge, was looking for the milk. And they said, oh, you know, that everyone remembers the song. Oh, you remember, you know the story that they say, that there was a guy that brought milk every day to yeshiva, and a person kept on stealing his milk. So finally, he stuck the milk in a Chalav Yisrael container, or he wrote on it, no, I'm sorry, put the milk in a Chalav Yisrael container, or he wrote Nachal Yisrael on the container, and it was top stolen. So everyone brings that from the story, you see how people are misused from kites. They misuse from kites. He's makban on Chav Yisrael. He's makban on Geneva. I don't think it hit me when the person talked about the story. That's not really the lesson of the story. The lesson of the story is, so what do you say? I'm saying, should I keep Chav Yisrael also? What's the pshat? Why do you think the person kept Chalav Yisrael didn't keep Geneva? Do you think it's a pshat because the person thinks that Geneva is less strict than Chalav Yisrael? If you would ask a person, which is more chomer, stealing the Chalav Yisrael, you think he would answer Chalav Yisrael? I don't think it's a pshat. I think the pshat is because a person committed, and it's his mind that he's not going to drink anything besides Chalav Yisrael. It's a commitment in his head. It's partially like trafed him, because in his head, he will never drink not Chalav Yisrael. So when he sees something that's Geneva, he never made that commitment to. It's not something that's out of his realm. But Chalav Yisrael is. Because in his mind, a long time ago, he decided he's never going to drink not Chalav Yisrael. So the godless is, we see from this story, that when a person's committed to something, he could be a godless. But a commitment becomes his life, and there's no way around it. For Ramesha, they say a story about Ramesha that he was that they asked Ramesha how come he wasn't walking out of the shul. So Ramesha said, because how can I walk? There's a wall here. I said, a wall? There's no wall. The person davening Shemot Esrei. So Ramesha, when a person davening Shemot Esrei, to him it was a wall. When a person has a commitment to something, then that's it. There's no way around it. It's a wall. It's a stone. A person commits Chalav Yisrael. It's like so hard for a person to break it because he's committed to it. A person commits in his mind not to get angry, and sometimes it's very hard to say, okay, right now, let's go, guys. It's all coming out to get angry. But even if a person knows the situation is going to come up, he knows he's going to come home and things are going to be hectic. He knows whatever, he's going to enter a situation where things are going to be bad, things are going to be difficult. If he thinks in his mind beforehand he's committed not to get angry, it becomes easy to deal with it. The Yetzer Hara gets us. The greatest thing about commitment is the Yetzer Hara gets us in areas that we have a suffix. When a person has a suffix, it's very hard to overcome the Yetzer Hara. When a person has a suffix, what he should do, it's very hard to do the right thing. Because the Yetzer Hara pushes him, you're wishy-washy, it's very hard to do the right thing. But if a person is 100% committed to something, it's very easy to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Because it's not, I don't have a suffix, I don't have a shayla. That's why a person needs to make commitments to things. First, there's a suffix whether he's mentioned this. First, there's a suffix whether he's going to get up in the morning. So that means there's an option of not getting up. So when he hears the alarm at 6:30, he says, should I get up? At the night before, he said, well, I'm not sure. Should I get up at 6:30 or should I get up at 7:30? So the alarm waits till 6:30. Come on. 6:30 in the morning, he's very tired. He doesn't want to get up, so he goes back to sleep. But if in his mind before, the night before, he's getting up 6:30 no matter what, it's not hard to get up 6:30. Just like, is it hard to get up 6:30? If a person that's very committed to davening shachris, he doesn't find it so impossible to wake up. Because he knows he doesn't have a choice. Just like when a person has to go to work at 8 o'clock, and the alarm clock wakes up, he has to go to work. Let's say the person's not from, and he has to go to work at 8 o'clock, and the alarm clock wakes up at 7:30, he doesn't have such a fight with his yetzer hara about not getting up. Because he doesn't have a choice. The more something becomes not a choice, the stronger the commitment, the easier it is to overcome the Yetzer Hara. When a person doesn't commit to anything, that's where the Yetzer Hara goes. That's the lesson of the Chalav Yisrael story. I'd like to amend the lesson of that Chalav Yisrael story. Okay. Even if a person gets beaten up or cursed, he has to commit himself. He will not feel it. He will not get angry. This is Pashat. Mishu Kapdan Harbe. A person is very makbid. We've spoken about Kapdanim. Do not be a Kapdan. Do not be makbid on things. Don't be makbid on other people. Don't be makbid on things. It will be easier for him not to get angry. Yishtek V'yatzer Ruchai Lagarmi. He'll be able to hold himself back completely. It's easier to get, as it says here, it's easier not to get angry at all than to get angry a little bit. He says that a person who's a Baal Kas, he has to decide, never, he has to commit not to get angry at all. Because if he gets angry a little bit, and this is what we're talking about, an angry person cannot do that. Because if he gets a little bit angry, he'll get a lot angry. Once it's already in the air, he gets a little bit angry, then it's very hard for him to control himself to get a little bit more angry. A person that wants to overcome angry, especially a person who has a serious problem with it, he's got to commit full force not to get angry. It's easier not to get angry at all. It's easier to drop cigarettes completely than to say, oh, I'll smoke a few cigarettes a week. I'll cut down. But Maisa, I didn't get to the part that I was referring to that sounds like a contradiction to what he said before. Mirza Shem, the next paragraph. Mirza Shem will finish our class. The amount of time it takes us to finish the shiur, I deserve a seat. Misha writes a lot of ruchai. Someone that wants to hold back his ruchai, his spirit, may not cast some anger. He writes a lot of email of a side. But he wants to place fear in his family. He wants his children, perhaps even his wife, to have a certain respect for him. You know, let's say for some reason he has to stop his family. Let's say his family is doing the wrong thing. Speaking Lashon Hara, they're doing the wrong thing. And he, in Musar, telling them what's the right thing to do is not working. But if he would get angry, if he get upset, that they'd be afraid of. So sometimes it's helpful for a person to get angry. Right? Vimuparni. So let's say he's a leader of a. We had this in the Rambam, this is Chazara. No, Chazara Zikr. Vimuparni, if he's a leader. He writes a Lichas al Tibur. He wants to get angry at the Tibur. Sheach Zuru Lamutav, in order they should do tshuva. You know, sometimes that's the only way to do it. So Kate said, yeah, so what should he do? So Yara Atzmai Bifnehem, he should show himself in front of them, Shehu Kayes. He should show himself that he's angry, Kedili Asim, in order to teach them the proper way. Utiyadaitum Yushavas Allah Beino Vein Atzmai, but inside, between himself, he should be very calm. Ka'adam Shu Medama Shu Kayes, like a person that pretends he's angry, Veina Kayes, but he's not. He looks like he's angry, but he's not really angry. So this is the mice of the. This is the words of the Orcha Siddiqui many times quotes the Rambam without saying so. This is the words of the Rambam. And the mice is a little bit of a stira, right? A little bit of a stira, because earlier in Orcha Siddiqui, he sounded like that if there's a good reason to get angry, so. You know, he said earlier, Afa Fisha Kas Mida Rama, even though Kas is very evil, terrible, you come welcome. Nevertheless, sometimes a person should be naig with Kas. For example, giving Musa to Rishayim and to place fear in his family. So it almost sounds like a contradiction, because there it sounded like he should actually use Kas. And here it says he should pretend. The chayr of the teretz is that when he said before that you should use kas, he didn't mean to actually be angry inside. He meant to just pretend you're angry. That's the way it works, by the way. You have to have a stira between two things, right? Someone has a stira that you know, one place it says A. And the other place, it looks like it says B. So you have to go by the one that's explicitly. He explicitly says over here that a person should just pretend he's angry. Earlier, so we'll have to be mad, we'll have to say daichik, that earlier he maybe meant that. Which means that a person now has no excuse to get angry. A person thinks, well, I have to get angry because my kid saying Lashon Hara. I have to get angry because my kid crossed the street. I have to get angry at him. Because I don't get angry at him for crossing the street, he's not going to learn his lesson. I have to get angry at him. And comes along here, no, it's not true. There's no need ever to get angry. Because you could just pretend. You pretend you're angry. You know, maybe that's one of the reasons HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Kas. Besides the fact to overcome it. So what was the purpose? Kas sometimes is very constructive. So if there wouldn't be a real Kas inside, so Kas would have, fake Kas would never work. But since there's a real Kas inside, so we can now pretend we're really angry inside and get people to do, you know, get done what has to be done. Ukshamar Kasa, when he shows his anger, Yizar Lov, he should be careful Shalo Yasakim, Kishir Sa Orchamanin. He should be careful not to do so when he has guests, poor guests at his house. I don't know if it's Dafka poor, but poor guests at his house. No. By the way, Stam, maybe he says because the biggest mitzvah of achnasas orchem, I mean, is for people that need need a place to eat. For anim, people need a place to eat. You know, if a person has a choice between taking in his friend for a meal and taking in a poor person for a meal, it's not even his friend who has a place to eat. Obviously, a person has to take care of those that need places to eat before he takes care of the people that he, his friends, before the people that he enjoys having over his house to eat. By the way, that's when a person knows he's a Baal Chesed. When you're only doing Chesed for the people, you know, when you're only doing Chesed for the people that you enjoy having over your house, or you enjoy helping, then you definitely do not qualify as a Baal Chesed. You're a nice guy, you're not a Baal Chesed. If you're a Baal Chesed, then you care about other people also, and you're not doing it. If you want to do Chesed, you're not doing it because you enjoy, you know, spending time with a guy you enjoy, you know, because you like him. You're doing it because you care about other people. You want the other person to receive. You're doing it to give, not in order to take. When you have guests by your house, if they see you get angry at your family, they're afraid that you're angry at them. Therefore, you should show yourself happy in front of them.
Why Sameach?
Sorry?
Why say be Sameach?
Sameach, you should be happy. Show them happy. Because if you see
not
faces,
angry.
I guess even better than that, if you're happy, then the Anim will feel comfortable. When you have someone in their house, if you have someone in your house and they see you're happy, you're in a good mood, you know, even if it doesn't have to be connected to you, then they're much more comfortable in your house. We're talking about a guest here, talking about in the old days, you know, talking about, you know, people would, there were people come to the shul, poor people, and people would go over to them and take them home. So not necessarily, you know, they're nervous that the Baal HaBayis is not really happy to have them over. It's not like they're inviting over their friends, their family, they're inviting over a poor person that has no place to eat. Maybe the person's doing it begrudgingly, he's not really happy about doing it. So if he's in a good mood, then the ani feels more comfortable. When a person does chesed, a person has to be careful. You know, I have to work on it. A person has to be careful to do chesed in a nice way. A person do chesed in a nice way. You can do chesed and make the person feel like he's taking from you and make him feel bad. And you do chesed in a way that the person feels comfortable, doesn't feel like he's taking from you. Gemara says in Kedushin that there's one person that did kibbutz of aim. There's one person that made his father work hard, and he was Seicha to Olam Haba. And another person, he gave his father, as Taisus brings the story, and there's another person that he gave his father Geshmak of food, and he wasn't Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim at all. What happened? He said, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara at the bottom of Lamanal in Kedushin. Yesh Ma'achal Aviv. Some people can give their father Pesyoni, his Geshmak, a dish. If it's hard to them in Olam, and it's going to take them out of Olam, they're going to be they're going to take them out of Olam Haba. V'yesh ma'achino berichem, and some people will make their father grind grain. And they'll end up bringing him to Olam Haba. The pshat is, Rashi brings down the Yerushalmi says, Yerushalmi explains that there was a story with a person that was feeding his father every day this pisyani. Pisyani is a very geshmak of a dish. We'll call it the pichah. Pichah is like, what is it, the feet of a cow's feet, whatever. Okay, but anyways, it's a geshmak of a dish. And every day his father asked him, where did you get the money to afford this fancy dish? So the son said to him, Mach balacha, what are you worried about? Just eat. Shoo, and eat. So he showed him that he wasn't doing it out of love or doing it, you know, happily. He was showing that it was difficult for him to afford to get the food, and it's going to end up bringing him that. It's not going to give him a star. It's going to take him out of Olam Haba. And Rav brings another story that there was a father that the king had sent that he needs a father to work for him, and the son said, "I'll go instead of you to the king, and you'll have to. But I need you to take over my job to support the family. You'll have to take over my grind, the windmill. You'll have to take over this job because to work for the king, there's no, you know, set hours. It's more difficult than to grind." So the pshat is that it depends how a person does. A person could do a chesed, and he might not only might not get schar for it, he might get punished for it. If it makes a person feel bad, you know, then he's going to get punished. He might get punished for it if it made the person feel bad. He definitely won't get as much schar as if he did it simcha. You know. I'm sorry. Wait, what's the pshat?
If he makes him work hard, he gets to get him.
Because he saved him, because the person who made him work hard, he went to the king instead of him. So he ended up doing his father, Kibbutz Abayim, he went to the king instead of his father. So since he went to the king instead of his father, the father had to take over the job by the millstone. Right? So his father was working, but the Maisa, he saved his father by going after the king. The other guy, he gave him geshmak of food, but he did it in a begrudging way, so it says that he was punished with it. Made his father feel bad. He gave him a good food, but made his father feel bad that he was doing it, you know, begrudgingly. Lamaisa, I've said this before, this is the game we've been talking about till now, the claw, you know. I messed up recently. I didn't do it. You know, if a person asks you to do a favor, it's a very, very good help. A person asks you to do a favor. You know, you ever go to a guy and say, "Can you do me a favor?" And he says, "What is it?" You know, and then you tell him, and then he says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, one second. Okay, fine." That's one way of doing a chesed. Or the guy says, "Can you do me a favor?" The guy says, "Sure. What do you need?" It's a whole different world. As recipients, we know it's a whole different world when you come to someone and they say, "Sure, what can I do for you?" Or when the person starts making a big deal of it. You know, if a person calls you up and asks you, for example, let's say a person calls you up and says, can I come over tomorrow night? I have to speak to you. Now, instead of thinking in your head, I think it's a good idea. Instead of thinking in your head, could you? If you have time, assuming that you have no reason not to, and you're going to. So you could tell the person, "One second, tomorrow night's not so good, maybe can we do it Thursday?" Or you could do like this. You could say, you could answer the phone, don't think, just say, sure, I'd love to talk with you. And then say, "Oh, you know, tomorrow night, I'm not sure that's good." It makes a world of a difference. If someone asks you to do a favor, you could, under most circumstances, say yes. Say yes on the spot. Says, "Can I buy your car to go to the thing?" You say, Yes, sure you could. And then you think about it. Does it work? It doesn't work out because I need the car then. Or, you know, obviously the person asked you to borrow the car to drive to California, you know, so I don't know if you have to say yes and then say, well, California. Or you could do that too. That's also fine. It works. Yeah, sure you could. Yeah, sure, have a great... Oh, you know, it's a little bit too far, you know, to take my car. But it makes a whole difference because a lot of times the person has to think... The person has to think whether he wants to do it or not, whether he could do it, whether he could do it, whether he wants to do it. But that hesitation and that thinking makes the other person feel that he's putting something on you. As opposed to just saying, guys, can I come over for Shabbos? Sure, great. 1 second, let me think about it. Because you're showing the person that you want to do it and you're happy to do it. And then Marushach. That's the name of Marushach. If you can't do it, so the guy feels good that you're willing to do it. And fun. And if you could do it, so why do you have to drive the guy a hockey guy trying for 5 minutes before you ended up telling him you could do it? Now he has to feel bad that he's bothered. That's a klal. Once you're doing it, do it right. So once you're doing a chesed, the person has to make sure to do it right. So a person calls you up, he says, guy, come over. So, if you're doing it, do it right. Make the person feel good. Tziva chacham l'shrachim min hakas. Chachamim were mitzaved to distance yourself from anger. Acha yinagatzma to your neig yourself. Shalei yargish, you should not feel. Afil b'dvar mamachisim also. Even things that really should get you angry. Even things that really should get you angry, shouldn't get you angry. Acha yakar kas melibo. Until you totally uproot kas from your heart. V'zeh derech taiva. And this is the derech taiva. A person should uproot cast from his heart. Vice versa, it's possible. A person can uproot cast from his heart. I once said that cast is like fire, right? Cast is like fire. If you let it go, cast is fire. It's imaginary. It's a burst of a feeling, and if you let it go, it'll die out. If you feed it, it'll get worse. But I just recently thought of a riot. If I have a riot, I have a riot. First time I'm gonna ever do this, I'll bring a riot from the tzedukim. It says in the pasuk, Lo Sivaru. It says on Shabbos, Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshe Seicha. You now light fire in all your midst. And I think that Stukim used to say, Stukim were makma never not to get angry on Shabbos. See, you could do such a thing if you committed. They would never get angry on Shabbos because they held that they took, I don't know again where they took the pshat exactly from, you know, but they said anger is a fire. They said, L'sivaru eish b'chol moshe seicha. So they didn't get angry on Shabbos. So avada, the pshat on the pasuk is wrong. Avada, mitzad helcha Shabbos. You're allowed to get angry on Shabbos. Mitzad helcha Shabbos, not mitzad helcha smidos. Mitzad helcha Shabbos, you're not machal Shabbos, get angry. But you see that they understood. You see that there's such a on that part. It could be they were right. That anger is like fire. Or I'm a tzaddiki, one of those. Okay, let's finish here. But there are tzaddikim and lovim and love. But the tzaddikim and lovim and love. Tzaddikim get abused. But like all of them, and they don't abuse. They don't answer back. Shemim cher pasen. They listen to their shame. And they don't respond. And by the way, you guys, it sounds pretty pathetic, right? It sounds pretty depressing type of life. That you have to get abused and not respond. You have to be you're ashamed. You take shame and you don't answer back. And the truth is that you're practically much better off this way. If you're abused and you don't answer back, the abuse, it's not fun to abuse people that don't answer back. The abuse will stop. And the Maisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you from abuse. The people, verbal abuse, yeah, physical abuse, you should definitely block the punches and, if you have to, punch back. But you're better off. You're better off. You know, it's very hard to see it when you're in a fight. When someone's attacking you, you think like you have to answer back, you have to scream back at him. I don't remember ever that someone attacked me and I ended up gaining by answering back. Usually when you answer back, it just causes the person to answer back more. Can you defend yourself? It depends. If a person's telling you why'd you do this, why'd you do that, and you didn't, So of course you should defend this every time, you didn't do it. You know, it depends on what the defense is for. If the defense is constructive, by the way, it doesn't say back, they don't answer back, they don't, you know, they can defend themselves. It says they don't abuse back. They could, you want to tell the guy nicely, you know, don't get angry back, don't scream back, you tell the person nicely, you know, whatever, I didn't do it on purpose, whatever, isn't it? Usmechim b'yisurim. Tzadikim rejoice in yisurim. Tzadikim have a gevaldik. They rejoice in yisurim. You know, it says if a person takes out, if you're familiar with this, it says if a person takes out the wrong coin out of his pocket, sincere yisurim. A person reaches into his pocket for a quarter, and he picks out a dime, it's sincere yisurim. You heard that before? It's very famous, right? It makes no sense, right? Why should I be called yisurim? If you have two coins in your pocket, a quarter and a dime, what's the chances you'll get out the quarter? I mean, assuming that you can't feel around, let's say 50%, or it's four coins. So you took out the wrong coin, why is it a kapara? Zok the Alter Navarnik. The Alter Navarnik writes, says about Jagas Adam, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches a person so carefully. HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches a person so much that if you need a quarter and you stick it in, you get a quarter, Hashem really would give you a quarter. Hashem watches over everything you do. Hashem watches, there's a malach for every blade of grass. It's a malach. When you stick your hand into the pocket, Hashem should really give you a quarter. If you don't get a quarter, you have a right. It could be used as a kapar. You should say, what do you mean? It's not logical that you get a quarter every time I stick my hands in my pocket, I should get the right coin. You know, if every single time, fine. But there's percentages, right? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches a person so much that if he pulls out the wrong coin, it's meant to be a kapar. It's meant to be a kapara, otherwise you'll get the right coin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send the right coin. And by the way, Uchaz over, that a person yisurim go on this nakuda. If a person gets yisurim and he complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about it, and he complains about it, then it does not count as a very good kapara. It's a limited kapara. Of course, to some people it doesn't work at all, but let's say it's a limited kapara. It's not such a good kapar. But if a person gets a cup of yisurin and he's happy, or he accepts it and he says, oh, it's a kapara, Baruch Hashem, then the kapara is worth, you know, 100 times, whatever it is, 1,000 times as much. It's ironic, because if you're complaining and you're suffering, so you suffer more and you get less kapara. If you rejoice, if you say, oh, it's basheret, and you accept it, then you get more kapara and you get less suffering, because you're not suffering from the yisurim, because you accept this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu intends for our best. So such people that get abused and don't abuse back, those people that listen to their shame and don't respond, those people that are happy with yisurim, so that's tzaddikim. Va'aliyam akos avayimer, and then it says, va'ayavav kitzei seshemesh b'burasak. Those that love HaKadosh Baruch Hu are like the going out of the sun in its strength. I don't know the pshat. What's the pshat that they're compared to? Those that love HaKadosh, the Gemara in says Shabbos, the Gemara goes on the last.
No matter what,
you serve
that Hashem throws to them.
Oh, Kivaldik. Good pshat. I like that pshat. I was going to say that pshat. So Daniel wants to tie in a pshat as follows. What's the mashal to Ayyavav Kitesh Hashem Kubrasa? Because every single morning, the sun rises. Doesn't feel like rising, right? Doesn't feel like rising. Doesn't feel like being too bright today. Well, obviously, I don't know if the sun is... Well, the sun has a choice. Doesn't have a choice. But that's what happens every single day. So a tzaddik is a person, and it's a very high madriga that we to reach. A tzaddik is consistently happy with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws at him. You know, one of the avodah in our life is to be consistent. You know, Kayla spoke about it by the handles, and spoke about it by the yard side. Versus be consistent, consistently happy, consistently accepting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws at him. No matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws at him, no matter how the day goes, the person is strong like the Shemesh. Alright, Demir Tashem, I owe you a siyum. I don't know. See when we'll do it, Linada. And, alright, Shkaya. Mazel Tov.